X-Talks connects professionals in the life science, medical device, and food industries with useful content like webinars, job openings, articles, and virtual meetings to help you succeed in your career. This Food Industry Focus podcast brings together some of our editorial staff to share insights into the latest B2B industry news to help keep you up to date.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the X-Talks Food Podcast. I'm Sydney Perlmutter, Senior Food Industry Journalist and Webinar Moderator at xtalks.com. And this week, I'm joined by Vera Kovacevich and Aisha Rashid. Thank you both so much for coming today. All right, so I'm going to start us off with a story about Keurig. I know we've all heard of Keurig before, but it has taken a bold new step toward unveiling its first ever 100% compostable coffee pods, and they're called K-Rounds. So K-Cups, but K-Rounds, and you'll know why if you look at the picture for this story. So this innovation not only marks a significant milestone in the company's journey towards sustainability, but it also addresses the longstanding issue of plastic waste from their traditional K-Cups. Now, a bit of a caveat here. It was designed exclusively for the new Alta machine, so it will not be compatible with existing Keurigs. Now, the K-Rounds feature a revolutionary composition without plastic or aluminum, using instead a thin cellulose wrapper around compacted coffee grounds. Now, this development underscores Keurig's commitment to reducing their environmental footprint and providing consumers with a more eco-friendly caffeine fix. So in a recent press release, Bob Gamgort, the chairman and CEO of Keurig, said 30 years ago, Keurig changed the way consumers brewed coffee with the introduction of the K-Cup pod single-serve coffee system. And today, we are applying all our expertise to create a revolutionary new system that will redefine how consumers will brew coffee for decades to come. So I'll just give you a bit of an idea of what K-Rounds are, what they will be. There was a launch event in New York recently, and attendees got to experience the texture and aroma of these K-Rounds. Beyond sustainability, they offer versatility with a variety of specialty grinds and sizes, catering to different coffee preferences. So each pod carries a code, ensuring that the Alta brewer extracts the optimal flavor profile. So adopting these eco-friendly pods requires, like I said, the new Alta machine, since they're not compatible with existing Keurig models. Though pricing details are still pending, the compostable coffee pods are expected to come at a premium. Big surprise there. Additionally, once open, the pods have a shelf life of 30 days, and though unopened, packages remain shelf-stable for 6 months. So I was curious about whether this was the first of their kind, and they are not. It's entering quite a competitive landscape, even just coffee pods in general. But this introduction by Keurig sets a new benchmark, just simply because Keurig is such a known, you know, name in the industry. Look, though, like I said, K-Rounds are not going to be the first eco-friendly coffee pods on the market, so I'll talk a bit about some other ones. Instant Brands compostable coffee pods, for example, are fully compatible already with Keurig machines. And then also for those that are seeking ethically sourced options, there's a company called San Francisco Bay Coffee, which offers compostable pods that also work seamlessly already with existing Keurig machines. And then arguably the most sustainable solution are the reusable K-Cups, the plastic ones that you can buy and just put your own coffee grounds into. So users, fill these reusable cups with their own grounds of their choice and simply wash them for repeated use, embodying an eco-friendly coffee brewing practice. But although competitors, like I said, have introduced biodegradable options, Keurig's K-Rounds stand out with their complete compostability and the tailored brewing experience offered by this new Alta machine. And this level of innovation and commitment to the environment may redefine consumer expectations and set a new benchmark, for the industry. Now, in terms of prepping to launch, Keurig plans to initiate beta testing for the new Alta machine and K-Rounds a bit later this year, collaborating with retailers and coffee brand partners. And this feedback from customers will refine the system before its expected public launch in 2025, rather, ensuring that K-Rounds meet both sustainability goals and consumer expectations. So in a world increasingly conscious of the environment and environmental impact, especially when it comes to coffee, Keurig's compostable coffee pods offer a pretty promising solution. The highly anticipated K-Rounds not only aim to reduce waste, but also enhance the coffee drinking experience, positioning Keurig as a leader in sustainability within the coffee industry. So I'm wondering, whether you guys think that maybe this is a little too late and whether the options that already exist are, equally as sustainable.
That was my first thought, actually, when you were talking about these new compostable pods. I was like, okay, and then you started going over the other ones that are already on the market, and I was like, oh, okay, so this is nothing novel, but... So yeah, it might be a little too late, but what, it has behind it is the brand, mm-hmm. the name. So, of course, I think people, even if they were using other pods, I think they'll definitely want to give these a try. And, of course, going with your machine, even though the other ones are compatible, mm-hmm. I think... Just having, first, it's a psychological or a mental thing sometimes, just to have, the matching or, the brand name to go with the mm-hmm. actual machine and stuff like that. Like, Nespresso, mm-hmm. right, as an example. So people would opt for their specific pods and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So, yeah, I think it's strange to me, why they've kind of gotten into the market a bit late. But I guess better late than never is mm-hmm. what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's ever too late to introduce a new sustainable line. I was just wondering, what would be the price difference? Do we have any kind of idea? Does anyone, I don't know what you said, they would be more expensive.
Mm-hmm. So yes, all I know right now is that it will come at a premium. I don't know mm-hmm. what that premium will be. And then, of course, there's the premium or additional cost of the new machine that you need to buy anyway for these to be compatible. So I was also wondering if you guys thought that it changes things a little
bit. I think I missed that part.
Oh, yes. The new Ulta machine, you'll need that because existing machines are not, these K-Rounds are not compatible with existing machines.
Yeah, that changes.
It changes things, eh? It makes things a little bit.
An admission on their end. They should try to make it compatible with the original machine, right?
Yeah, that would have been
an existing filter or something that you can put these in to be compatible with existing
machines. An adapter,
yes. It's very reminiscent of needing new cables or new products to charge a new phone because the old ones aren't compatible anymore. It's like, oh, well, you're giving me no options. So they're kind of saying, if you want to be totally compostable and sustainable, you got to buy our new machine.
Damn.
So,
right.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was almost on purpose.
Oh, absolutely.
Sell more machines and there'll be an initial fee.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. They could win over customers if they had some kind of an exchange program. Like, hey, mm-hmm. Turn in your old machine for a new one at a, reduced cost or something like that.
That's a good idea.
And that also ties into the sustainability.
Yes, it does.
Right?
It does, yeah.
So, how you turn in electronics and things like that to,
that's a great idea.
Recycle. So, if you're on that.
And then as it stands.
Royalties.
As it stands with the coffee and sustainability in general, I think, I think with Nespresso, they have a service where you mail back the pods, I believe.
How can
you? I think so. I think you can do that. You can mail them back. I'm not sure if it's for a rebate, but I know that it's certainly for sustainability. So I think, in the last 10, 20 years, the coffee industry as a whole has really realized that it needs to take some steps to, just be a little bit better, especially because coffee is so prevalent in mm-hmm. most people's lives, and it's something mm-hmm. that they consume, if they do consume it, often on a daily basis. So, mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's, better late than never. I think it's a little bit, consumerist on Keurig's end. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they have such a strong hold on the coffee industry, and loyal Keurig customers will undoubtedly, want to try this and see what the hype is about. So I think they will pay for it and think that it's worth it.
Are they as big of a name as Nespresso?
I would say so. Yeah, I think so. And
Yeah, I've never heard of them. So
really,
no, sure. No.
I'm not even a coffee drinker.
Do they sell anything else besides coffee?
So Keurig is owned by Keurig Dr. Pepper, which is a conglomerate of food companies.
Yeah, they're all.
Yeah, of course. Also, Dr. Pepper they own, and they own a bunch of other beverage and probably some food companies as well. But Keurig is, they've been selling coffee makers and machines for like, I guess 30 years, so says the CEO. We've had a Keurig.
Yeah,
I guess so. We've had a Keurig at home. My dad uses it every single day. I think they sort of redefined the coffee at home space in terms of making it easier for people. Otherwise, you know, you'd need like a whole big setup. But Keurig's really, you know, revolutionized the at home coffee game. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Nespresso came in after.
And I think redefined it.
As a luxury.
Yes,
or a like high end.
Yeah.
George Clooney.
So more of a high end.
Yes.
Posh.
Yeah. Keurig is for the layman, I guess, for the everyday folks. And then Nespresso is for like, you know, I like coffee a little bit more.
Bougie.
Yes, a little bit more bougie. But yeah, huge company. Interested definitely to see where this goes.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to move on to our next story. So last week I got the chance to interview someone from a company called Too Good To Go, and I'll get into that a little bit, but very much we're still on the topic of sustainability, and this is a company that has really quickly become an industry leader, and it sort of just leverages technology to bridge the gap between surplus food and hungry consumers who definitely want to save some money. So like I said, I spoke to Andrea Lee, and she is the head of Canadian operations at Too Good To Go, just to learn a bit about some of, you know, how the company functions and how it's sort of changing this landscape of food sustainability. So Lee's journey from tech giant to sustainability champion is really driven by a mission to create a more sustainable and equitable world. She has previous experience at Amazon and Google, which has certainly equipped her with a unique perspective on leveraging tech to solve such complex problems like food waste. Now, by fostering an inclusive and diverse culture, Andrea emphasizes the importance of building high-trust teams and delivering results with accountability. Too Good To Go's success in Canada, which thus far has saved 4 million meals from waste, is a testament to the effective application of these principles. So Lee says, the guiding principles for how I thought about my career have always been around this theme called tech for good, as I'd call it. So a lot of it is thinking about scalable systems, leveraging innovation to solve hard problems, and that's kind of what brought me to Too Good To Go and what I'm most interested in. Now, the essence of Too Good To Go's mission is simple yet profound: to reduce food waste globally. It's a certified B Corp, so the company adheres to rigorous social and environmental standards, ensuring that its operations contribute positively to the planet. Andrea highlights what she calls a win-win-win business model, which not only benefits partners and consumers, but also the environment by minimizing food waste. She says, a lot of what we do is really making sure that there's value for our partners, whether it's reclaiming some of that cost of goods from their operations to operating their stores, and also adding value for our users as well. Now, Too Good To Go has also made significant strides in making sustainable choices accessible to everyone. With over 2 million users in Canada, and I'm one of them, by the way, the platform has facilitated partnerships with major brands like Tim Hortons, and that is a relatively new partnership, which demonstrates the potential for large-scale impact. Lee also stresses the importance of listening to customers and partners to sustain and accelerate growth, especially in less urbanized areas. And the goal is to deepen the company's reach, making sustainable options available across the country. She says 57% of customers in Canada still feel disappointed that businesses don't care enough about food waste. So that's something that I see as a huge opportunity for us to solve together with our partners. The future of food waste reduction is bright, with Too Good To Go at the forefront of innovation. The company is exploring AI-driven products to help businesses and consumers make smarter decisions about food waste. She said, a lot of what we're building and what we're aiming to launch that adds value for our partners is this tool that intelligently and easily helps them identify the gaps in their value chain. Then it also simultaneously easily makes recommendations on how you tackle it so that you're maximizing value each step of the way. So by identifying these gaps in the value chain and providing these actionable insights, Too Good To Go aims to optimize operations and maximize value for all stakeholders. This approach has the potential to revolutionize the way that the industry and consumers alike manage food waste. And getting a little bit more into these national partnerships, expanding its network of partners has been a really key focus for Too Good To Go. Lee hints at some upcoming collaborations with a wide range of businesses, from grocery chains to independent small-scale establishments. The aim is to cater to a diverse set of needs for consumers, offering everything from bakery goods to supermarket finds. And the strategy not only broadens the platform's appeal, but also amplifies its impact on reducing food waste. Lee says, "We see on our app that our users love the grocery segment, so we maintain a lot of good work we do with Metro, which is a Canadian grocery store. And then at the same time, there's all these independent partners that are not in mass grocery chains, but they're smaller, more mom and pop. We see those do really well in our platform too, because users love the diversity." As Too Good To Go continues to grow, of course, it faces some challenges of educating consumers about food waste and how to combat it. And Lee is determined to address this through increased awareness and practical solutions that individuals can implement in their daily lives. She says, "A stat that I found fascinating is that about 94% of Canadians are motivated to reduce their household's food waste. At the same time, they don't really know how exactly to do it. So I think it's an opportunity to challenge where we can address that piece through education as well." Of course, with an app like this, feedback from users is overwhelmingly positive, with many expressing appreciation for the platform's ability to empower them to make a difference. The element of surprise also adds an exciting dimension to the app, encouraging more people to participate in the fight against food waste. Social media, particularly TikTok, has also played a significant role in spreading the word and engaging a wider audience. So Lee envisions a future where tech and data-driven insights play a central role in eliminating food waste across the supply chain. With plans to expand globally, including a launch in Australia, Too Good To Go is set on achieving its vision of a world without food waste. And this journey is just beginning, but the impact is already profound, with the company not only leading the way in the industry, but also inspiring a global movement towards sustainability. So like I was saying, I have had the app for a little bit of time, so I already know how it works. But just to sort of paint a picture for you, you open the app and it based on your location, you can see which, grocers or stores have available bags, and oftentimes you don't know what you're getting, so it's a surprise. And when I was talking to Andrea, I likened it to booking a hotel on Hotwire. You know sort of what you're going to get, but it's still a bit of a surprise. And she totally agreed, and she thought that was a great comparison. So that's been part of their growth, is especially on TikTok. Like I was saying, people will do these like hauls, say, "Oh, here's my Too Good To Go bag. Here's what I got in it." And it gives people the opportunity to try new things that they haven't tried before at a very discounted price, and then also do some good and feel like they are, preventing a meal or meals from going to waste. So I think all around it's an awesome company. They're not just in Canada, they're in the States, they're in many European countries, and they're going to be launching in Australia soon. So yeah, have you guys ever heard of this app or apps like this? And is it something that you would consider using?
Yeah, I've heard of apps like that. I think you've previously talked about some several other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some newer ones. I don't know how long Too Good To Go has been around. But yeah, I've never tried these apps myself, but I want to try it now because it sounds really fun and exciting. And I'm just curious, so like how much food do you get in that?
That's a good question. Of course, it definitely varies. I have gotten bags from Eataly, actually. So things that are about to expire from Eataly. And of course, Eataly is quite expensive.
Yeah.
And these bags are, sometimes under $10, and you're getting things that are worth like $50, $60 sometimes. So in the bags that I've gotten, you'll get some produce. Sometimes you'll get some pre-made meals that are, going to expire. I can't tell because they vary for sure.
Yeah.
And like I was saying, they just, launched with Tim Hortons. So I would expect, you might get some bagels, you might get some baked goods.
End of the day donuts.
Yeah, end of the day donuts, exactly. which you know, would otherwise go to waste.
Yeah, they're perfectly fine.
Yeah, they're perfectly fine. Yeah. But they'd otherwise go to waste. So, like, I just love this company because they help consumers, they help their partners, and they're making, you know, an impact. And they're making money, too, of course. They have to survive. But I love the idea of it. So, yeah, I couldn't tell you exactly how much food you're getting, but you're certainly getting, you know, a nice discount on food that would otherwise be, like, full price. Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. Yeah, yeah, I want to check it out, too. I think I've heard of it, but I'm not quite sure. And speaking of price, what is the subscription model for?
It's free.
Oh, it's free.
Yeah, it's a free app. You just sign up. You don't have to pay.
Are there any fees? Like,
not that I know of, no.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing, I mean, you're not getting food delivered. You got to pick it up.
You got to pick it up.
And there are certain... you know, timelines, it'll say, okay, this is ready for tomorrow, or this is ready for, you know, today, right now, sort of thing. I would say my only qualm with the app at the moment is that there are too many users and too many people wanting to snatch up everything.
Oh,
so things do sell out, like, relatively quickly. So you can put notifications on, and you can get notifications of when a certain thing is available, and then you can, you know, snatch it up for yourself. But there is certainly a lot of demand for this type of thing, and that's why they want to keep expanding. And this Tim Hortons partnership is huge.
Oh, that's good.
It's gonna be huge for them. For yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so once you reserved your box, that's it. Like, they will wait for you to come pick
it
up. Yeah. Or you have to come within a certain time window.
I mean, they'll tell you when they like you to come.
Okay.
And I would adhere to that.
Yeah. So because the food, you don't want to wait.
Yeah.
So although this is like a Kinder surprise kind of a model or a box you get, but could you like input some preferences in terms of like, let's say you're just vegetarian and you don't want any meat options?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You could. Yes. When you sign up, it asks you, you know, your dietary preferences and any allergies or whatever. So
Yeah,
and you can choose. And usually when you're looking through what some place is offering, it'll say, okay, meat box. So you know you're getting meat in there. Or your produce box or baked goods. You get the general gist.
Idea
of what you're going to get.
The theme of your box.
Yeah. Except you just don't know the specifics of it. Yeah. Yeah, so they've really thought of everything. Yeah.
It's really cool.
In the past, I've talked about maybe some apps that are specific to certain grocery stores. I know Loblaws, I think, has their own, and I'm sure various other grocery stores have their own, but this app is different in that it has, you know, all these independent partnerships. I think that's a differentiator, and they're only getting bigger.
And you know what, like, this is very timely given like the conversations happening, especially in Canada, I'm sure in the US too, but about, you know, these big corporate grocery chains and how like they've been making record-breaking profits like since the pandemic, and how food prices have been, you know, grocery prices have been going higher and higher, like by the month, I would say even. So for them to opt into programs like this, maybe they're hoping it'll help with their, you know, consumer base and help them sort of save face in terms of like, you know, what's been going on the corporate end for many of these big chain grocery stores.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I've started seeing like restaurants and you know, small businesses have a sticker on, you know, on the windows with too good to go, and like it makes me think more highly of this business because they're doing a good thing. They're doing a good thing for themselves and for customers.
And you know what? It also reminds me of like, you know, when you go to food courts and like they have the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to get rid of them. Yeah. They put their stuff in boxes and it's like, hey, it's $5, $5 for this or whatever. So it's the same idea.
Yeah. It's just a more streamlined, tech-focused way of doing it. Yeah.
Right.
And we were also talking about... Or maybe we were talking about this, but if you guys saw a few weeks ago, Loblaws, you know, a big grocery chain here in Canada, they initially were going to stop the program where their expired food was going to be offered at like 50% off. And then there was so much backlash about it, and they took that back, and they're like, okay, we'll do that again. Mm-hmm. But that just goes to show, I think, like how like money focused that money driven that grocery chains can be. Because in their minds they were like, well, it doesn't make a difference to us profit-wise. Like, mm-hmm. it's cheaper for us to actually throw it out than to offer it at a discounted price.
Really?
So, but then, with all the backlash, which I'm really glad there was, that's a nice moment of people coming
together.
And protesting something as silly as that,
I was going to ask, are there any other, like, large retail chain grocery stores on... like collaborating with Too Good To Go besides Metro?
Thus far, I think it's just Metro. And then, like I said, Eataly as well. A big grocery chain. I think they're trying... She wouldn't tell me. I was trying to get her to tell me some of their future partnerships. But I think they're really trying to get a good mix of grocery and like smaller like bakeries and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think bakeries specifically and Tim's as well is like such a perfect market for this.
Yeah.
Because baked goods, like
people
always want those and they don't always want to pay full price. So I love the idea. Yeah. All right, well, that's the end of this episode of the X Talks Food Podcast. If you like today's show, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks, everyone, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the X Talks Food Industry Podcast. If you enjoyed our discussions today, please share the episode with your friends and colleagues, and be sure to subscribe in order to be notified when a new episode is released. To join in on the discussion, you can find X Talks on social media. Email podcast@xtalks.com or comment on the articles directly. Links are in the show description. Take a moment to join our community at xtalks.com to get access to everything we have to offer, including webinars, job listings, virtual meetings, articles, and more. The views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the speakers sharing them. They should not be taken as professional advice and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position Honeycomb Worldwide. For further information, email us at podcast@xtalks.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.